This is for the record. U.S. combat forces left Afghanistan in 2014. Afghan National Security Forces were supposed to take over the fight against insurgent groups. But this past week, U.S. aircraft again dropped bombs on an Afghan city, trying to push Taliban militants out. It started Monday when Taliban forces stormed the city of Kunduz in the north. Here's White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest.
We're going to continue to monitor the efforts by the Afghan government and Afghan security forces to retake Kunduz, and that will factor into a longer-term assessment of the conditions on the ground.
After a couple of days of fighting, Afghan forces claimed they had regained control of Kunduz. But the fighting wasn't over, and early Saturday morning, the U.S. conducted a series of airstrikes in Kunduz. They hit a clinic run by Doctors Without Borders, killing more than a dozen staff members and patients. Over the past 12 years, the U.S. and NATO have spent hundreds of millions of dollars in Kunduz province alone, building clinics, schools, and roads, all in an effort to keep insurgents out. Now, the Taliban is threatening that stability. For the record today, the fight to keep Kunduz. We begin this hour with NPR's Tom Bowman, who has the latest on the situation in Kunduz.
The organization Doctors Without Borders said at least 19 were killed, including staff, patients, and three children. Dozens more were wounded. Hospital staff made desperate calls to American and Afghan military officials, but said the bombing lasted for a half hour. The main building was repeatedly and very precisely hit, said Tim Shank, a spokesman for Doctors Without Borders. For months, said the organization, it had reported the location of its hospital to both sides in the fight, as it does in every conflict. The U.S. military in Kabul said in a statement it conducted an airstrike, quote, in the vicinity of a Doctors Without Borders medical facility. The statement said Taliban fighters were firing on American soldiers who are aiding Afghan forces trying to retake Kunduz, seized by the Taliban in a surprise raid earlier in the week. An American official said it's likely the U.S. responded to the attack with an AC-130 gunship, which flies long loops above a target and is armed with several large guns, including a 105-millimeter howitzer. Doctors Without Borders said there were no Taliban fighters firing from the hospital grounds. Patients from the clinic, meanwhile, have been moved to other hospitals. The top commander in Afghanistan, General John Campbell, vowed a full investigation and said, "My thoughts and prayers with those affected."
NPR's Tom Bowman on the military operations in Kunduz province in northern Afghanistan. Now we're going to step back in time.
Good afternoon. On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against Al-Qaeda terrorist training camps and military installations of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan.
It was 14 years ago this week. U.S. forces first launched airstrikes in Afghanistan. The Taliban would soon be defeated, and Afghans like Mateen Sarfraz were hopeful.
My father was telling us that, hey, guys, you will have school, you will have work, you will have a better future. Now, international community are coming to Afghanistan, we will have a proper government, you know, we will have no fighting.
Mateen Sarfraz was 16 years old at the beginning of the U.S. war. He had grown up in Kunduz province. After the Taliban fell, international aid started flowing in. The cornerstone of the U.S.-led NATO mission in Afghanistan was all about winning hearts and minds. And to do that, they set up a network of bases around the country called Provincial Reconstruction Teams, or PRTs. These teams were made up of international forces, but also civilian aid workers and development experts.
They create a lot of jobs for young Afghan generation. The guys who speak English, they got a job with them. They supported a lot of construction companies. They were giving them a project.
The Americans set up the PRT in Kunduz in 2003. The Germans took it over shortly thereafter. Philip Ackerman was the German civilian in charge of the PRT from August 2006 to summer of 2007. He said the political situation was pretty good when he got there.
We had then a rather stable northern region where mostly people were focusing on trying to improve things that were improvable, like agriculture, but also schooling. And we were very much in the civilian mode when we came and tried to really set up a better working institutions, better working education system.
And they did. They built schools, government buildings, water and sanitation systems, health clinics. They even set up a radio station, and Mateen Sarfraz applied for a job there.
They were looking for a freelance reporter, somebody to write and record, report for the radio. And I worked for them for around 3 years, covering that province.
It was a point of pride.
Everyone was so happy to work with the international. The families that their son was working with the international, they were proud of them. Like, hey, my son is working with PRT, he's getting more experience, he's getting more knowledge, and he's getting good money.
While other parts of Afghanistan, the east and the south, were active war zones, the north and Kunduz in particular was relatively safe. The Afghans in Kunduz benefited from all the international aid coming in. The Taliban felt far away until it wasn't. Both Mateen Sarfraz and Philip Ackerman remember one particular day.
In May 2007, we had a huge attack in the bazaar in Kunduz where 3 German soldiers were killed. I had a policy, we have to buy local. So when we bought fridges or stuff for the PRT, we went to the bazaar in order to support a local bazaar.
All the time when they were coming down to the city, they were just walking. They were shaking hands with the shopkeepers. They were buying some stuff. They were playing with kids. And people were like so friendly with them, you know?
That was by far the saddest moment in my career in Kunduz, when 3 of the German soldiers were killed when they bought a fridge in the bazaar. And that changed, of course, our regime to a certain extent. And we were much more worried and concerned. And it changed a bit the mood of the population.
Many Afghans in Kunduz, they were like, okay, now the situation is going crazy because the suicide attacker reached the city and they target the foreigners.
Extremists were making their way to the province from other parts of Afghanistan and Pakistan. Philip Ackerman started to realize infrastructure alone could not keep Kunduz safe.
We felt that when we improved on the development side, the security side would improve and the other way around. And at the end, this didn't turn out to be true. It's all about security. Security is the main thing. If security is there, you can improve on the development, but you can't try to get security through development projects. And that was a lesson we learned in spring 2007.
The attack in the Kunduz Bazaar was a turning point. German forces didn't go out into the local communities as much, and when they did, they went in armored convoys. NGOs started pulling back. International development projects were harder to get off the ground. Philip Ackerman's tour of duty was up a few months after that attack.
I left in, I think, 31st of July 2007, if I'm not mistaken.
But Mateen Sarfraz didn't have that choice. Instead, he did everything he could to make a better life for his family, despite the changes in Kunduz. He studied hard. He did well. He got a master's degree and eventually a job with the Afghan government in Kabul. But Kunduz is still home. His wife and kids still live there, and he goes back often. In fact, Sarfraz was in Kunduz early Monday morning when Taliban forces made their advance.
It was like at 3 o'clock in the morning. I heard a very loud explosion, then a gunfire. So I woke up, and my kids woke up, and they were crying. It was a loud explosion, and then another explosion happened, and another happened.
The next day, his family hunkered down in their house while the fighting continued. Sarfraz ventured out and headed towards the airport to see if any flights were leaving. They weren't. Then he got a phone call from his family.
They told me that my uncle's wife got killed.
She'd been inside the family's compound, but the fighting was close, and she was killed by a stray bullet. Sarfraz finally made it back to Kabul, where he works, but his wife and children are still in Kunduz.
My little daughter, she was talking to me like, hey, we are hearing a lot of sound of these jets in the sky and explosion. And she was like, you left us alone.
Both of these men, Mateen Sarfraz and Philip Ackerman, believed that Kunduz was exceptional. That this place high up in the northern mountains of Afghanistan, this place would somehow remain insulated from the violence in other parts of the country. Here's Ackerman.
It's a shocking development because it's the first time that the Taliban really conquer a bigger city in Afghanistan, albeit only for 2 days, but it's really a new scale. I'm pretty sure that the Taliban are not in a position really to hold centers like this for a long time. But we have to acknowledge that they are very present and they have a very good strategy, apparently. And that's frustrating.
I can't imagine if my city is back to that time when Taliban was in power in that city.
It's hard for Mateen Sarfraz to reconcile what's happened to his city, that somehow all the work over the past decade to build a stable Kunduz could be destroyed by the Taliban in just a few days. He is now trying to find a way back to Kunduz to make sure his family is safe. Doctors Without Borders has posted a first-person account of the attack on the Kunduz clinic from one of their nurses. He writes, "There are no words for how terrible it was. In the ICU, six patients were burning in their beds. The hospital has been my workplace and home for several months. Yes, it's just a building, but it is so much more than that. It is healthcare for Kunduz. Now it's gone."